Okay, we're back in the Gemara Makos. It's been almost a week. And we're on Test Zayin Amud Aleph, three lines from the top. The Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish keeps evolving. And we said that everything that they said regarding starting with the discussion of Naseh, does it repair the lav or it's independent of the lav, you get lashed for it or not, and then it depends on is a doubtful warning considered a warning or not. That was the machlokes. Reish Lakish says Hasra Safek is not a good warning, you would not get lashed for it. Rabbi Yochanan says a doubtful warning is a good warning. And now we're going to take the machlokas a step further. What's the source of that machlokas? We saw it within the context of what they said, but what are they basing their opinions on if a doubtful warning is considered an appropriate warning to get lashed for or not? Now we start a new chapter of the machlokas. V'etervayu, on both of them, they base their opinions, a libeter of Yehuda, of their understanding and analyzing Rabbi Yehuda's position as the Gemara is going to continue. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is a Tana, and Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan came later, and they saw words of Rabbi Yehuda. One analyzed Rabbi Yehuda one way, one analyzed Rabbi Yehuda the other way. And that's how they came to different conclusions about Hasra's Safek. How do we see this? The Tanya, for we... What happened? I didn't do anything. I did not do anything. Maybe I did, but I don't know what it could be. It's harder to press. Oh, I know what it is.
Recording?
No, the side thing isn't here. Okay, anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about, but on the side, there's a little arrow thing that pushes the thing down, and something happened to it, so now I don't got time to look for it. Oh, came back. See on the side?
Yeah.
See on the left, those arrow things? Okay. Detanya, we're learning a braisa. It says, the Torah says, V'lo sosiru mimenu ad boker. We're talking about the Korban Pesach. There's a negative transgression. You may not leave any of it over to the next morning. But then, there's a positive commandment, Vanoser mimenu ad boker, whatever's left over, and the next morning, you shall burn it. Okay, you're supposed to eat all the Korban Pesach meat the entire the night of Pesach. If you leave over till the morning, it's naver, then that's called nosar. And then the Torah says, if you transgress that, you then burn it up. So now the question is, what's the nature of the asay that's coming after this lav? So what would you think it is? Before we go any further, based on what you know so far, what would you say it is?
So the positive knockout, the negative.
Okay, the positive fixes up, not knockout, but fixes up the negative. In other words, okay, so you would you get lashed for that or not?
No.
Does it say do not?
No, if you do that.
No,
say
if do you not. Do that,
say it says do not.
Then it's lashes.
No, but
because of the positive.
But the positive fixes it up. When a positive fixes up, then you don't have the lashes.
That's right.
Right? So that's what the braisa says. Okay. So the braisa continue.
But until you fix it up, you already...
Yeah, but you can't get lashed. Right? You burn it right away. You fix up right away.
But until you burn it...
Well, we have to see what happens. But that's the other machlokas. Do we tell them right away to burn it? Or the other way we say, well...
Until morning.
Well, so that... But you don't get lashed for this.
Okay.
Anyway, so what happens? So comes along the braisa and says, Bo hakosav litein asay achar lo sasay. The pasuk comes along and provides a positive commandment after the transgression of the negative commandment. Lomar, to teach you, Shane Loken love to teach you that you don't get lashed for it. Thank God we had a pasuk that said that, and you therefore you don't get lashed. So if I'd ask you, why do you not get lashed? Because the Torah added a positive commandment following the negative commandment. That's exactly what who says? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's the name we got to remember, because we said Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are going to analyze Yehuda's statement and try to figure out from what he does say, what is he also telling us from what he doesn't say. So the reason you don't get lashed is because you have the positive commandment afterwards. Fine. So now the question is going to, and Rabbi Yehuda belabored that point. He went and explained why. We could have just said, you know, if you leave something over, this, you don't get lashed. But he's saying why you don't get lashed. Because it's a positive commandment, and the positive commandment fixes up the negative, and therefore you don't get lashed.
Explicit.
Now,
he says exactly.
Okay, but now the question is like this. Now we got to put on our Talmudic caps. So now, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying, it's because of that pasuk, we don't lash him. Now, what would be if we didn't have the pasuk? Let's theorize. Because he's telling us it's because of the pasuk. He could have said another reason, maybe, but he didn't. But now let's, this is where you get into a debate. So what if, according to that, it's because of that pasuk of the lash? So what if the Torah didn't have a positive commandment afterwards? Would you get lashed and not? And why?
Because
that's all you have to say about the whole issue? You have nothing else to say?
Well,
maybe there should be and why would you be lashed for it? Just because it's a negative commandment?
Yeah. It says you should not do it. Well, maybe you wouldn't be because...
Well, there's no ase. You just leave it over.
What, an action?
Is it like Muslim
okay.
animal?
Okay.
The Torah is telling you.
Well, let's put it this way. What did you actually do to transgress the Aveira?
There is no action. Is there an action or isn't there action?
Well, there's no action.
You transgress even though you've been doing it.
Well, do you get lashed for lab that does have an action? Well, I think we know that's a machlokas. Remember the first parak? First parak? The general consensus was you don't get lashed because it's not like muzzling. But there was one opinion out there that said not. But anyway, so let's try to deduce. So this is now Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they're going to make deductions, and they're going to differ in their deductions, and that's where we're going to see the machlokas of Hasras Safek. Rabbi Yochanan Dayek Hochi. Rabbi Yochanan deduced from Rabbi Yehuda's words as following. He says, well, I guess, Taima, the reason we don't lash him, because there's a pasuk that says the positive afterwards, provided the remedy, and that's why you don't get lashed. Very clearly implying, without the pasuk, you would have got lashed, but the question is why? Hello, bo hakosuf. What if we didn't have a pasuk? Like, you would be lashed. Now, the question is, what do we deduce from that? Now, let's take a look at the comment here. Even though only an uncertain warning is possible in such situations where the prohibition is transgressed by failing to do an action within a prescribed period of time whose end it is impractical to ascertain with precision. Now, you only can get lashed if you're warned, right?
Yes.
Correct? Can you get warned if you're not lashed?
Yes.
So,
no,
tell me... Can you get lashed... If you're not warned.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're saying, had the pasuk not put the essay in, you would get lashed over here.
That's right.
So that means, by definition, you have to be warned.
Yes.
You have to be warned. If you're not warned, you can't get lashed. Tell me exactly when on Pesach night is the warning coming? And what is exactly the warning?
Just before dawn, I guess. Oh, better burn it now, or you'll get lashed.
All I'm saying is, it's 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's 11 o'clock at night. People kind of finished up their Korban Pesach. There's a big chunk of meat left.
It's part of your Seder.
It's a big chunk of meat left, right? So now, describe for me the warning now. Exactly what's the warning going to be?
Eat your food.
You better finish up that food,
or you'll get lashed.
Because if you don't finish the food, you're going to get lashed. Okay, now, when he issued the warning, is the guy for sure going to get lashed?
Yeah.
No.
Is it a certain warning or a doubtful warning?
There is no warning.
Let's go back to a simple solution. Let's go back to a guy's got a the guy's has treif in his mouth, in his hand, on a fork, a zoi, and the warning is don't eat the treif.
Right.
Ooh. All right. Yeah, that's a pretty clear, definite warning. There's no doubtful warning over here. He's going to do it, right? And he did it.
Action.
Yeah. He did it, right? But we're saying, you know, don't leave it over. Well, when he gave the warning, we don't know if he's going to transgress. Is that going to be a certain warning or a doubtful warning?
Condition.
Right? It seems to imply, right? So it's kind of, as we say, it is impractical to ascertain with precision. Alma, we would see if you're going to get lashed for such a warning, hasra safik shma hasra, that an uncertain warning is considered a valid warning. Because when you give the warning, you have no idea if there's going to be any transgression. And you have to, when you give a warning, so the question is, do you have to have a certainty with the warning? That's the machlokas, we said. When you make a warning, does it have to be a certain warning? You make the warning, and we know for sure he's going to transgress or not. So therefore, he said, I guess we can deduce from here, from Yochanan's, from Yehuda's statement, only because the pasuk, he doesn't get lashed. But if there was no pasuk, he would get lashed. How is he getting lashed when the warning is given? There's no certainty there's going to be a transgression. Must be that a doubtful warning is a good enough warning. That's how Rabbi Yochanan deduced from the Abihuda statement. You follow? Reish Lakish Daikacha. Reish Lakish made the same inference but took it in a different direction. He says, time it above, Kosov, you're right, because the Pasuk said the Pasuk of Mammy doesn't get lashed. Holo ba'akos, if there was no pasuk, loka, you get lashed. Okay, now he's saying, what do we do from that? Well, obviously, we're going to see in a second, Reish Lakish does not subscribe to the fact that a doubtful warning is a good warning. He does not subscribe to that. So therefore, why would you get lashed? There is another problem here. What was the problem we mentioned before? What's the problem with this whole thing of getting lashed here? There's no action. So he will deduce. Alma, lav shein bo maisa, lok in the love. We see from here that a love that you don't have an action, you get lashed for. And that's what he deduces from Rabbi Yehuda. Not as he subscribes to the position, Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish. They're just telling us what Rabbi Yehuda holds.
Ooh.
Do you follow what's going on over here? Rabbi Yehuda said, because we got the pasuk, you don't get lashed. But otherwise, forget about if there was no asay, and all there was the lav. You shouldn't leave it over. You would get lashed. So, but we have two problems here. One problem is the warning is not a certain warning. Number two, the lav is not with an action.
You can't do that.
Yet you're getting lashed. So each one deduces a separate thing.
What does he do with
Rabbi Yochanan deduces that a doubtful warning is a good enough warning. And if there wouldn't have been the assay, yeah, you would have got lashed. Now, he wouldn't, but of course, Rabbi Yochanan would say, but there's no way, but you would not, what about the issue of there's no action? You know, that's an issue we'll have to deal with. However, Reish Lakish, on the other hand, says, well, you must deduce from here that a lav shein bo maisa doesn't get lashed. Does get lashed, and that's what we deduce. And not to deduce that a doubtful warning is a good warning. A doubtful warning is not a good warning. So they're each deducing different things. But now, and maybe it's good enough. You don't need to have a certain warning, or you do need to have a certain warning. So that's where they deduce different things. Now, the question is, but wait a minute. Each one has to deal with the other issue that the other one did not address.
Exactly.
Right? Each one has to deal with an issue the other one did not address. All right? So over here, Reish Lakish said, well, you know, it's a doubtful action. There's no activity, but I guess you get lashed. Even if there's no activity, you do get lashed. and had the pasuk not. So now, what about the question of the doubtful warning? Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Now they're going to ask why each sage didn't draw the other inference that the other one drew. Why did you draw that inference when you could have had the other inference, right? So Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Nami, Suresh Lakish, Ha Vadei Hasras Safeku. But according to Reb Shimon ben Lakish, surely this case of leaving over is one that involves an uncertain warning. Still, you have to agree it's an uncertain warning. Reb Yehuda states that had the Torah not provided a remedy for the transgression, Malchus would have been incurred. So why then does Reish Lakish not also infer from here that an uncertain warning is valid? You could infer both. Why don't you infer both? That you don't have to have an action, one, and that it clearly is an uncertain warning. So why didn't he infer that from Rabbi Yehuda? So we're going to have, because Savar law, he's going to hold Ki'idach Tan Rabbi Yehuda, because there's another Rabbi Yehuda, there's another Tana who teaches a view of Rabbi Yehuda that says a doubtful warning does not get lashed. There's another teaching said in the name of Yehuda that a doubtful warning does not go. You already see where this is going to go, the question and answer, as we're heading down the path here. That Tanya, we learn in another Brisa, how about a fellow who he's not sure who his father is? We know if you strike your father or you curse your father, you get killed. Okay? Now, we're talking about a case where a woman who was divorced, and she's supposed to wait 3 months before she remarries. Why? Because in case she has a baby 6 months later, we're not sure if it was a 9-month baby from the first father or a 7-month baby from the second father. All right, so therefore, we should wait 3 months. What if she didn't, and now she has a baby? And this is before DNA testing. So therefore, and I don't know, it's a whole shaila if you can accept DNA testing in halacha. I don't want to go there now. But anyway, this boy is born, and he doesn't know who his father is. Okay? Now there's two men, and you can imagine he knows he's got one father, but he doesn't know which father. Maybe he's have all kinds of problems, juvenile delinquent, he's upset with everybody. So what does he do? He curses both fathers. Okay? Now, people warn him not to curse this guy.
Which guy?
Yeah, well, that's going to be the question here. So now, is that going to be a certain warning or not?
It's not certain.
Right? The Tanya, we learned in a Brisa, what if it's a number of scenarios. Let's say he hits this one father at one point, and then 5 minutes later, he hits the other father. Didn't hit him at the same time. So each time someone's warning him, don't hit this man, he's your father. 5 minutes later, don't hit this man, it's your father. He hits both of them, but at different times. Or he curses. Same thing, if you curse a father, it comes with a death penalty. He cursed one, and then 5 minutes later, he cursed the other one. Okay? And he gets separate warnings on each one. Each one is a doubtful warning, isn't it?
Yeah. One of them's not.
No, they're both doubtful.
You don't know
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Yes.
Right? Now,
one of them is the father.
Yeah, but you can't. But you don't know if this one is. Now, what if he kashnem avasachas? What if he hit them both at the same time? Oh, kill all shnem avasachas. Or you curse them out both at the same time? Chayev. The Tanakhama says, you're chayev. You're chayev in both situations. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, no. Bevas achas chayiv. If you hit them both at the same time, you're chayiv, because he definitely had a definite warning. Because between the two, at the time of the warning, he's transgressing. Because remember, you have to transgress for sure. Well, if he's hitting both of them at the same time, well, he's for sure doing the aver. And we warned him on both. Don't hit him and him, because one of them is your father, and if you hit him now, both, you're going to transgress. But Bezecher Zeb hit one after the other, Potter. He'll be off the hook, because each warning is in doubt, right? It's an uncertain warning, right? Thus, Rabbi Yehuda's view as recorded in this Brice is that an uncertain warning is not valid. So it's this view that Reish Lakish followed when he ruled that a person does not incur malchus for failing to eat the loaf on the day that he vowed to eat it. He said he didn't have the pasuk gilash because he holds that a not a good warning is putter. So therefore, he subscribes to that Rabbi Yehuda's position where it's not a good warning. So that's the Rabbi Yehuda he holds. So now the Gemara explains that it's true that Rabbi Yehuda's view is recorded in the Braisa concerning Nosar is that one incurs Malkus both for violating a prohibition that does not involve action on basis of an uncertain warning. Reish Lakish accepts only part of the view. In other words, there's the one Rabbi Yehuda, the first Rabbi Yehuda says, you got to say with that Nosar that he clearly said, he deduced, well, I guess you have to say two things. A not an action gets lashed and an uncertain warning gets lashed. That's one view of Rabbi Yehuda. But this view of Rabbi Yehuda, there's a machlokas of Tanoi, of what Rabbi Yehuda held. This view of Rabbi Yehuda clearly says a not certain warning does not get lashed. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda says not. So therefore, he subscribes to that view of Rabbi Yehuda that the doubtful warning is not a good warning. Reish Lakish, though, accepts only part of that first view, namely that one incurs malchus for violating a prohibition that does not involve action. That part, he agrees. Regarding the validity of an uncertain warning, however, Reish Lakish adopts the variant opinion of Yehuda, as is taught by the Tanya of the Braisa concerning striking, cursing one's father. So now we understand where Reish Lakish got his view from Rabbi Yehuda. From this Bryce and Rabbi Yehuda, you got a problem. Gemara's later going to ask, but wait a minute, isn't Rabbi Yehuda going to be contradicting himself? Because then how can you get, without the pussy, get lashed for eating the nosar when it's a doubtful warning? So we're going to see. But anyway, this is the Rabbi Yehuda in which he finds a source in. Okay, we're going to have to stop it here. Rabbi Yochanan, we have to understand Rabbi Yochanan a little bit more. We're going to have to review this next time we get together on Monday. But we've got a little bit further over here. Okay.